Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rock That Relationship. We are talking about toxic friendships today. This is a very interesting topic because it is situated in our entire series all about friendships. But, you know, we've talked about kind of the good of friendships and making friends and deepening friendships and even just creating boundaries. But all of these sort of have a positive spin on them. But what do you do if you have a toxic friendship? And maybe it didn't start as a toxic friendship, right? Like a toxic friendship is, you know, maybe it was
Hopefully it didn't.
No, I mean, you didn't just jump right into it and it was, you know, like something kind of sketchy or questionable and then you kept going. Most of the time, they're actually really good friendships that go south because something happens. So tell me your definition, Tracy, of a toxic friendship.
Draining, drama, like expecting too much out of you, getting mad at you, treating you like, I don't know, I guess the way people would treat a family member or a partner and that they were disappointed with or mad with, you know, like too much too soon or too much in general.
Yeah. Well, and I think that,
or like someone who backstabs.
Yeah. The backstabbing, like the intentional stuff, right? Like the, the backstabbing
or
lying.
Like the triangulating and backstabbing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all kind of the same as just what you deal with in family members, right?
Right. I mean, it's like some type of hurtful behavior that comes from somebody else that's supposed to be your friend. And whether that's one time hurtful thing or whether that's a chronic hurtful thing, you know, and the toxic relationships that I've had or friendships that I've had some that have been toxic almost from the beginning because I look back at them and realize that some of the behavior had already been happening, but I just sort of excused it until I didn't, until it became too much because it was either accelerating or becoming more so. And then other people, it was like, we had a great friendship. And then all of a sudden, boom, there was like an incident that shifted it to toxicity. So there's like two different kinds of toxic friendships. But I mean, have you ever had a friendship that was toxic or became toxic over time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Several over the decades. Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of those themes though, that cut across them?
Well, I mean, it's again, it's like I had a friend from college who she just could not like get going with her life, failure to thrive almost, even though she had a job and whatnot, but she would depend on you to like tell her what the weather was outside or to try and motivate her, but then be resentful if you did. And eventually, like, it wasn't directed towards me at all, but I had to unfriend her on Facebook and everything because the negativity was too much. Mm. And it was not negativity in, I mean, okay, people could say, gosh, you post too much political stuff, but that to me is like, okay, daily life, like that we're dealing with our prices going up and not being able to afford life. But this was like, you know, every day, like gloom and doom of like the, like she wake up and say like life sucks, you know, or focus on the fact that her father wasn't here, but then she still had a mother and it just seemed like, oh, I don't want that. And then getting like mad or like kind of, like unpleasant to be around.
Mm, okay, so it's unpleasantness. But it wasn't necessarily directed at you. She was unpleasant to everyone?
Yeah, and it wasn't directed at anyone in particular. It was just this, like, Eeyore. Mm-hmm. But worse, like, Eeyore plus, like, Eeyore with, like, a bite, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that just gets exhausting after a while. It's like...
Yeah, and we were friends for a long, long time. And that was, we did take a trip together, and she literally started out the trip telling me I couldn't talk about, like, I think it was a breakup that I had gone through and I was not allowed to say a word about it. And I was like, okay, so you're just going to control what we talk about, you know? No. And it was driving like from Seattle to California.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Yeah. It was not fun.
That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So I felt that it was very controlling and yet had her own, like, you know, like negativity to it. So I don't like that. And I don't do negativity now. I try to put up like a literal force field to it.
Right, right.
Like a literal force field. Like I don't do negative affect. I don't do that like or I mean, no, I'm not, okay, that sounds terrible. Like I am there for people in hard times, of course. But life here on this earth is hard. And so if every day is going to be like waking up with a like a negative attitude, or like I've gone out to lunch with people and stuff that it's just like they're critical constantly. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know, and they live in that place of just like constant doom. Everything's bad. Everything's bad. And it's like maybe everything is bad, but I mean, come on, you can't live an entire life. We're hanging out with people in their 50s.
Right.
You're telling me you've had 50 straight years of every single day with no joy. Like,
well, right.
I
mean, I used to
that.
Be, well, and I probably used to be more like that, like being a hardcore vegan. I mean, I still am hardcore vegan, but like incapable of like enjoying anything because all I could see were the bad things. And something shifted in me where it was like, oh, is me being in a bad mood all the time helping? And I was like, no, it's not. What is that doing? It's not doing anybody any good. So I think. But people who hung around me said that even though I was like that, I was always still like fun and, you know, whatever. So there was like a mix. So for me, the people that can't have the mix of it at all. And then because life is hard and we should point that out and we shouldn't be Pollyannas, you know, and the people are suffering. I mean, every time you drive, you see homeless people on the street. You know, I gave some homeless people some supplies yesterday and just like, oh my God, you know, I'm passing 50 others. So it's not like you don't recognize that that stuff's there. Or just like, life is great. But I think you have to have a mix of that. And then I think toxic people who overburden you. And like you and I have talked about this. We have a different tolerance for what people are burdening. I don't mind, but I think when it's crossed the line is then they're getting like mad at me or expecting more out of me than I think friendship should expect, you know?
Right. Well, in terms of like how quick your response time can be, how invested you are in their problems, what kind of a listener you are, what kind of advice you're giving them if they don't like your advice. You know, I mean, we've talked all about that. I have like zero tolerance for that. Like I will listen to someone's difficulties. I kind of come from a coaching space and then I move on, but I don't want to sit in that space. And you have a lot of people who put a lot on you, their emotional traumas. They just dump them onto you.
But then they get mad. Like, I don't mind that, but then they get mad at me about it.
Right.
Like, okay, don't be mad at me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind that. I have a trauma. I have come from a traumatized place. I've done a lot of trauma work. That does not bother me at all. But it's then when they get mad at me, because it becomes like transference. Like, I am now responsible for their feelings.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, no, I can listen and I can help and do the kind of be coaching, but don't transfer that onto me. I think that's what's happened. And I had a friend who did a lot of that, and then she did a lot of therapy. And I was very clear. I think I had really good boundaries, you know, because once it started to become draining, you know, and everyone, that's the thing is like, you have a different tolerance for that. Everybody has a different tolerance for what's draining for them. And so then they need to put up their boundaries. And I am willing to listen to a lot and I am willing to help, but not when you're getting mad at me for it.
Mm-hmm.
You're transferring your anger, you know, onto me. Yeah. And then I feel like, oh my God, if I don't do this or say this or, you know, go and look at what it is they want me to look at or care about, like, you know, the anger.
Right. Yeah.
That I can't do.
No, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's, there's so many versions of toxicity, right? Just, I mean, general unpleasantness and negativity and someone who's controlling, someone who has these like overburdened expectations. I mean, there's all sorts of things. You know, I've had more of the garden variety of sort of mean spiritedness and backstabbing.
Well, you've had more backstabbing.
I've had backstabbing.
I haven't really had backstabbing.
Oh my
but you
gosh.
Have.
Yeah.
I know, which is weird because you're so upfront and then it's like, why, unless you were different before I met you, but I mean, my knowledge of you is pretty, you're pretty upfront, you're pretty clear and fair. And so it's like, you've had some real backstabbing doozies.
Well, I have. And, you know, like I said, I've changed over the years. I've become kind of more intuitive and spiritual and all these things and sort of had more of my own internal transformation. But you're right. As far as like being upfront and fair and responsible, that's always been who I am. And I feel like there have been people that have taken advantage of that or they have backstabbed me. I've had it's not like it happens all the time, but I have had a couple occurrences where I thought someone was my friend. I trusted them and then they turned around and, you know, either violated that trust or did something incredibly manipulating behind my back, which ended up pulling the rug out from under me, which was not my fault. And so, I mean, the irony is, and I don't wish this upon anyone, but all of them have had some kind of karmic retribution for what they've done to me. And so, in one situation, there was someone who ended up sort of maneuvering her way into my job and me out of my job. And then, you know, turned around many years later and ended up leaving, I think, on my rumor has it on not so good terms. So it's like, okay, I mean, I don't want to say payback's a bitch, but you know, at the same time, it's like, just, you know, be careful what you do to other people. Don't harm other people. I don't.
Yeah, but it's weird that. And I mean, I don't, some people are true sociopaths and they're out to do that. They don't care. And they don't care who they step on, you know? And like when I was in the police department, we called them ladder climbers. Like they don't care they don't care if they step on you to get where they need to go. But you've had like close friends.
Like
I'm trying to think if I've ever had close friends. Yeah. Like really close.
Like for years and years. I'm not talking about some disgruntled coworker who like steals my report and turns it in as their own. I'm talking about friends who I like trusted with my life. And it's happened a couple times where I've had one was a backstabbing thing and one was a controlling thing, like sort of went off the rails and started to try to control me and was doing some gaslighting. And I was like, what is happening here? I thought I was losing my mind for a minute. And then I would have to like fact check my texts and, I'm like, something is not right. I started showing my text threads to other people because I was like, something is not right here. This is, I'm getting like a major ick and something is not right. And that became so problematic that, you know, I ended up for the first one, we just didn't talk after the incident of the job switcheroo thing. But this particular one, I said, nope, I need space. I cannot do this. I don't know what's happening here, but I cannot be a part of this. So I drew the line there. But, you know, they were both incident based, right? Like something happened that triggered our great friendship to all of a sudden become like this toxic space. And I'm not saying
but it wasn't something happened in that you did something disrespectful.
No, I don't think it was a response to anything. Both of them, it was something that sort of came out
in
of the blue.
Right.
I was blindsided. I will take responsibility for the fact that I have conflict with people and that I do things that sometimes aren't nice or aren't healthy or whatever, because I am not intentionally, but I just know that I'm not a perfect human. But in these two instances, there were just too many extraordinary circumstances that were not, that had nothing to do with me and my behavior. It was really the other person's like choice.
Well, and I think that those friendships were on the level that our friendship is. And if I were to do that, like suddenly just stab you in the back. I mean, we talked about that with the friend thing that turned out to be a past life thing that was really weird, but we did talk about it. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't think you were fully able to talk. That's also another element of toxicity is that you can't talk through it, that the other person is not willing to actually work through it or talk through it in full, like, honesty. So, I mean, we had very hard conversation about that weirdness that I did, but we talked about it.
We talked about it and we worked through it. We've still years later continue to find little kernels of wisdom out of that situation. And yes, and you took responsibility for it and we moved forward through it. But like in the circumstances I've had with these two particular people, like there was no saving it. Like the incidents were so hurtful and harmful that like it was like going back into a
burning
building.
And there's no explanation for those.
No.
And I don't know when we had our conflict about that, if I like knew at the time, but I think I did tell you, I just feel compelled to do this. I felt that I was trying to help you.
I know.
I know. The whole thing was strange, but until we got the information, from the Akashic reader.
Well, I mean, the Akashic reader did say that you were my child in another life and that you died and I died of heartbreak. The part that you put together with sort of your intuitive pings was that this other person was involved in somehow and killed
would
you.
Murder me.
But yes. That wasn't what my Akashic reader said. But that is what you intuitively felt, and that was the moment that happened. And that's coming from somewhere.
Right. Like it was something I could not feeling. Control.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I go around acting like that. Like I was so driven by something else that had nothing to do with me, which is weird because you were driven to reach out to that person that you would never reach out to people online, and you did. And anyway, when I told that person that she murdered me and that I was over it and that she was freed, she like didn't laugh or think I was a weirdo. She like got full body chills and almost vomited. So yeah. All that had to happen. I do think that was true, but that was weird, but at least we were able to talk through it. And it took 2 years, I think, to figure out what that information didn't come about for like 2 years later. But your situation, there's never been resolution and there's never been accountability or acknowledgement. And
No. Nope.
I think those people, if I'm correct, show that pattern with others as well.
Yeah,
so it wasn't like a one-off. Like it wasn't a one-off. It was a total one-off. Yeah,
it wasn't a one-off. And then for not the first example I gave, but the second one that was a little bit more like the gaslighting and stuff that I have seen. Like I can go back and start and see like precursors to our incident where that was happening at just a much, much softer level. So not alarmist, but I can look back and be like, ooh, that was happening. Now, the first incident with the job thing that happened, there wasn't any precursor to that. The loyalty with that person was so high that it wasn't like I could look back and say, oh, I saw this coming, or she had behaviors that were going to exhibit this. It was no, it just like happened. And that was it. So it, you know, both of them blindsiding in their own right. But you know, for me, I couldn't be in those friendships any longer. And it was sad because both of those people were like, you know, I was really close to them for a long time and told them lots of things, and we shared adventures and experiences. And so it was sad because I had to grieve the loss of those friendships, but it was like a bad breakup, and I had to grieve that loss and then deal with the trauma of how that sort of friendship breakup happened because it was so harsh.
Well, watch my worst ex or all those Netflix shows about the worst ex and every 2020, all this, I fell asleep watching something last night where this lady's like, who did I marry? And it's like all of her friends were like, well, we saw this coming and others didn't. But I mean, sometimes people don't it is weird how I'm not cynical, but I could be cynical. And it's like weird, like, how is it that these people exist among us who suddenly change?
Right.
Yes. Okay. I could see having an agreement or disagreement and then being like, you know what? Let's just not hang out anymore or something. I could understand that. But like to be with someone so closely and then they completely change.
Right. Or that they have the audacity to do something so hurtful without thinking it through. Like obviously
that's sociopathy.
Right. Those behaviors are going to result in that person not wanting to be friends with you. So you're tanking the friendship when you make those choices. So why would you?
Why would you do that? But why would you be friends with someone for years and then just stab them in the back?
I don't know. Because I've never done that. I mean, not to my knowledge. And if I have, it's been so inadvertent. I can't even think of one.
Right.
Example.
And no one's come to you and said, you stabbed me in the back. I mean, you and I have had things where I've said, that's really bugging me or that's hurting my feelings. And you've said the same to me. And we talked through it. But like, these are situations where there's no explanation.
Right. Exactly.
And no care. No even care.
Yeah, no care of the impact of it at all.
Right.
Like the behavior. It's like, well, this is so hurting wild. Me. Oh, well, this is what I did. And so, yeah. I mean, I've had one other toxic friendship that was sort of like, I call it like the boiling of the frog. You know, I know as a vegan, you don't like this example, and as a vegetarian, one either. But, you know, where you turn the water up ever so slightly to the point where you don't know that eventually the water is boiling. And I had one friendship like that where I can look back and say, wow, this was toxic for a really, really, really long time. The other person did things and maybe I did things too, but the dynamic was just awful and it made me feel horrible. I didn't like our conversations. We would talk on the phone pretty frequently and I didn't like how I felt when I got off the phone. I ended up being like very defensive and I ended up crying many times when I got off the phone. I was like, why am I continuing to be in this friendship where I just don't feel good? And so it wasn't any one incident. I mean, there was an incident that sort of ended kind of the communication between us, but it wasn't necessarily like that was in isolation. That was building. It was coming. I just was like, I
Well,
can't do
and
this.
was there a conversation about ending the friendship or just like you made me mad?
It was just one thing where it was finally like I couldn't handle the fact that the conversation had become so toxic. I was being blamed for things that I didn't do. And then I was, basically, being told to kind of suck it up, that I invited the way that I'm being treated and all this stuff. And it was like, listen, I don't have space for that. I don't have space for that. And then I was told it's tough love. It's honesty. Don't you want an honest friend that's going to tell you these things? And I was like, no, actually not really. Because I think the things you're
Well,
telling me
because
are
it
kind of
wasn't,
mean. Yeah.
yeah, and it wasn't honesty, and I was warning you about that, but I
I
was
know.
saying like I wouldn't put up with that, but like, and that you shouldn't, but the when you have a long-term friendship, you're not just going to give it up because somebody else tells you, oh, I don't think that's good, and you have to get to it yourself. Unfortunately for you, it wasn't like violent or anything like these people on Netflix, but like it was not, that was not honesty. And so then that's sociopathic, borderline, narcissistic, whatever, where that person is literally telling you, I'm going to shove my fist in your face. And that's just me being honest, like it, where there's, they're being abusive and they're saying, well, this is just what you need, or this is just what is honest, like, and
Yeah.
you're just supposed to believe them. That's the thing. That's where that got, I think, that was like, just take it
Right.
because
You
I'm
need to
telling you it's
need to hear
okay for me
this.
to act this way. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
I'm the
also,
only person who will give it to you straight. Everybody else is just blowing, sunshine up your butt right now. I'm the only one who's going to give it to you straight and I'm going to tell you like it is. And I'm crying like, please stop, please stop. Like I don't have the capacity today to take this. And it was like more and more and more. And it
but
was
also
like,
telling you that what you're experiencing is not abusive, that it's like
right.
it's necessary
And
and that it's okay.
right. And that other people aren't gonna, don't have the guts to tell me they're not my real friends, like she's the real friend because she's willing to tell me the hard stuff. And I don't disagree in principle on that, right? Sometimes, like your good friend will tell you if you have broccoli in your teeth or something. I get that. But when you're actually telling someone something and they're crying because they don't want to hear it and they ask you several times to stop, that's non-consensual verbal abuse. I mean, non-consenting. We think of consent as like physical touch and crossing the line. Consent is also verbal. If you're telling someone to please stop telling you things, please stop talking to you in a certain way, and they continue to do that, they have crossed the line. So I don't believe in any of that. I would never act like that with someone in general, but then if I said something and someone was like, please stop, please stop, I would immediately stop and apologize. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize I crossed the line. I'm so sorry. But it's like to keep going and keep going and hammering
Well,
away.
this went on and on.
It's been going on for years. So, and it was hard because it was like, I've been sort of reassessing and reevaluating certain friendships in my world, and some of them were coming to an end at the same time. And I brought this one to kind of a close right around that time. I could have opted to just say, oh, I can't lose another person right now. I'm so exhausted. But I didn't. I was like, I can't. And to be honest with you, I have felt incredibly better since cutting this off. Because I talked to this person like every few days, and it was like every time I got off the phone, I felt horrible about myself. And finally, I was like, I feel better when we don't talk. And I was like, that's not what I want in a friendship. That's not what I want, because this person had some great redeeming qualities and was there for me during some tough times. And we've been friends for a long time and we enjoy hanging out with each other, but I couldn't do this aspect of the friendship, which made it toxic.
Well, and also there was some isolating going on of dissing your other friends, like including me,
Yeah.
trying to like convince by denigrating others,
Right.
Like, they're not your real friend. They're not saying what you need to hear, or they're bad for you, or they're messed up or whatever. So I think, like, you just have to get to a point where, I mean, everybody in any relationship, be it a marriage, a, you know, love relationship, a friendship, a family relationship, do I want to tolerate this? And is the person listening to me when I say, this isn't what I want?
Right. Exactly. You would think if your friend is saying that, and then say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry I crossed the line. What do you need right now? Like,
yeah,
that's
but
what
most people are not capable of that.
All right. Well, I know that. But now I'm trying to hang out with people who are capable. I don't want to be around people who aren't capable of that. Go learn how to do that. That's called being an adult, a respectful adult. Go learn how to do it. If you didn't learn it as a kid, that's a bummer for you. But go learn it as an adult. It is not too late. I teach classes in emotional intelligence to adults, and come and you can take my class. You're welcome to do that.
Yeah.
And there are people, I applaud my students for coming back to school and taking classes on this stuff so they can have better interactions with people. And, you know, there's no time when you're too old to learn how to be emotionally intelligent and a respectful human being. And so if you're not that, I don't want you in my world, because it's burdensome. It's heavy. I take the brunt of it. I don't want it. I'm not saying I'm perfect when it comes to this stuff, but I'm attuned. I try
yeah,
very
well,
hard.
Trying and talking and trying are different than shoving something down somebody else's throat and saying, you need this, you like it. I mean, seriously, that's what was happening.
That's like gasoline. It is. It's a form of gasoline.
Yeah,
and
it's not healthy at all.
Yeah.
And it's hard to walk away from long-term friendships, but when that is what's happening, it's not good.
No, it isn't good. And you have to ask yourself, like, how do I feel in this friendship? Does this friendship light me up? Does it feel light, like physically light? Mm-hmm. Does your body feel light, or does your body feel heavy when you interact with them, when you think about them, when you talk to them on the phone, or even when you see them? Does it feel heavier? I mean, go with your somatic responses on this. And I will tell you, I'm a big fan of history. I, you know, like, we've talked about it before, about, you know, you have these long-term friends of like 20 years and you don't want to let them go. But at the same time, if you've grown and changed, or they're not treating you well, that there's no reason to hold on to someone who isn't in a good space for you in your life at this time. And it's no hard feelings on it. I mean, we have no obligation to hold on to that.
It's the same as relationships. Exactly. I mean, usually in a love relationship, people go to counseling to try and fix it before they end it. But I mean, I told you many times, I would ask women clients, what do you want? What do you want? And they start crying. Like, nobody ever asks them that. And they never ask themselves that.
Right.
And that's okay to ask, you know? And I think that's particular, especially for mothers, you know, they're not caring what they want. And I think it's no different in friendship. Like, why do I want to spend my time in this way?
Right. Well, and even like when you're in a relationship, you know, you may have combined assets and children, you have more at stake. And in theory, unless you're polyamorous, you have one partner. But in friendship, like, you might have 20 friends and one of them is kind of being a jerk to you. You have no reason to hold on to them. You've got 19 other people, or you have the capacity to go out and meet somebody else to kind of fill that spot if you want. So, you know, why we hold on so tightly to friendships that don't work is beyond me. I mean, I know we sometimes feel an obligation to do that. You know, I'm not saying ditch someone when they're going through a tough time, because that's not at all what I'm saying. But if they're not treating you well, even if they are going through a tough time and they're not treating you well, and they're just plain mean, or they're backstabbing, or they're controlling or overburdening you for extended periods of time, you have no obligation to stay in that friendship whatsoever.
Right.
Just because you have a history. None.
And if you have to take a break and then they come back and apologize or something like that, and they've actually had awareness, you know, I mean, people need to go to therapy about all relationships.
I had to go to therapy about one of my toxic friendships.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I had to go about both of them.
Well, that's good, right?
Yeah. To process through, like, what in the world is happening? So I knew what was mine to carry.
Did you ever ask, like, was I doing something to cause this?
I mean, I didn't ask the people. I didn't ever talk to them.
No, yourself or your therapist.
I mean, yeah, my therapist and I talked through
it. Did you look at your own behavior?
I did. I looked at my own behavior. And in both situations, they were, you know, the two incident-based ones were things that were so out of my control. I didn't even know they were happening to me. And I was like, I don't think anybody brings on, like, victimhood like that. So in those senses, no. I mean, I've had other relationships where we've had conflict, and I definitely see my role in that and take responsibility for that. But the ones where I was, like, blindsided, I'm not going to own any of that. That's not mine to own. And that right. part of me had to go to therapy to do that instead of processing what is mine and what is this other person's. It was mostly for me to let right. go of the fact that none of this was mine. It was not right. mine. And I had to right. not feel bad about it. And I had to know that my boundaries were important.
Well, and that's what's good for therapy. I mean, that's what therapy's good for, to go and discuss that and be able to let it go without it like mm-hmm. driving you mad, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, therapists are useful for many things. It doesn't have to just be relationships. And I mean, I think that's the thing. Like, I've sent many, many text conversations to my therapist, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And to you and like, okay, well, am I doing something wrong here? You know? But right. I think there's a lot of people, sociopaths, narcissists, borderline, people with borderline personality disorder, they're never going to look at that. They just can't. And they're not mm-hmm. capable of it. You know, and that's the thing mm-hmm. is like, it's, I mean, it's up to you whether you want to spend that time in your life. I mean, that's the thing. Everyone has their breaking point. Everyone has mm-hmm. like what they're willing to tolerate, you know?
Right. Exactly. And
it's, I mean, to each their own. Some people can put up with more than others can.
Right.
You know?
But then you have to ask yourself, why? Why are you putting up with, you know what I mean? You have a higher tolerance, but at some point, do you need to put up with that at all? Like, I mean, I don't know.
I don't
like,
know. Some people.
As I've gotten older, my threshold has gotten smaller of what I'm willing to put up with.
Right.
And, you know?
Do you think that's a product of age, of like, well, I only have so much time left on this earth, or, oh, I actually can make other friends, or... You know what I mean?
It's life experience. It's the fact that when I have held on to these things, they never turn out well, that I'm now mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm entering into something that looks very similar to something I've done before that blew up in my face. I'm not even going to go there. You know, yeah. I mean, like when we talk about red flags, like, you know, there's a list of red flags I want to share that was like things to kind of keep an eye on. So for our listeners, as you're listening, and you don't necessarily need to do an audit of every friendship, but think about these things. Are there people that these stand out for? Because if you have a red flag, red flags don't just go away usually. Red flags are red flags. They're warning flags. Right. And so, like, we've talked about a couple of these. They're critical. They're mean. They're judgy, jealous, petty, right? Like, that whole idea of just that they're not nice, right? They're mean-spirited. Right. And maybe they backstab you, or maybe they say mean things to you, or maybe they talk behind your back. So I've had, you know, that happened before. But then I've had this one, they're contrarian or provocative. They just want to work you up. And that was the one friend that was like, right. I'm just going to tell you what you need to hear. And, right. you know, would just really, I think, liked getting me worked up. And
yeah, because it was never for your best interest. It was no. for that person's prurient interest. Like,
exactly.
that was doing something for that person. It was not, if a friend is crying and you keep going on and on, or if a friend is saying, please stop, and you keep going on, then it's not for them.
No,
it's not helping them.
It is not, exactly. And so that's a red flag. So do you have people that are contrarian or provocative in a way that isn't like helpful at all?
Right.
Another red flag is that they're not trustworthy. They're gossiping about you. They're breaking your trust. They're lying to you. They're, you know, I haven't had this per se. Have you had this in a friendship, like non-trustworthiness? They gossip behind your back?
No, not that I know of.
No,
I mean, I know people have things to say about me. That doesn't bother me. And it doesn't bother me if my friends were to say to another friend, like, oh, she's a lot, you know, she's
right.
a lot to deal with. They're saying, like, I know that. That doesn't bother me. Now,
no.
And also, I don't keep secrets. So there's nothing like, I learned this early on as a cop, and then having several people die when I was younger, who, you know, there were things that when, after they died, people found out, you know, through their, like, mm-hmm. one friend, we cleaned out his apartment before his parents came, because he had stuff in there that made it look like he was gay, but he wasn't. He was a straight guy, but like, we were college kids doing a bunch of crazy things. And so we cleaned everything out of there so that they wouldn't think that, because, you know, like, that would not even be a true belief, right? Wasn't like they right. didn't know their son. They think, oh my God, our son was totally not what we thought. Which, and then I had another where she died, and then all of her friends, who some were her exes, like, read her journals. I was at the house when this happened. They were like reading her journals and reading about themselves, and like, oh, I have never kept a journal, never since that day. Like, they literally, there were probably 8 of them. It was a nice group of friends that were always together. I spent a lot of time with them. And then that, she died, and they there were people just sitting like in a chair, one person in the living room, one person on the porch, one person here, like reading her journals. That's... And I'm like, oh my God, this is never going to happen to me. I will never
no, don't write, don't write it down. And I mean, unless you write it, like all my secrets are in one journal, and it's called The Soulmate Strategy, published by She Writes Press. You can buy it online.
Exactly.
Like you,
but
yeah.
But that's the thing. Like I don't have the secrets. So right. I never, I mean, I learned that as a cop very young. And then all those people died. My one friend, he died in college. And then the other friend died when I was a cop. And both tragic accidents. And like, I saw how things could go for you after your death. And like, I just have never wanted to have secrets. Like, right. I feel like I would feel sick. I would feel like, oh, nervous all the time. People might find this out.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, what about like people who tell you things? I mean, you're trustworthy. You're not going to go gossip about other people. Are you?
No, I'm not a gossiper. No.
I process with other people. I'm going to be straight up about that.
Right.
If I have an issue, you know, it might be something like I'm trying to figure out how to talk to my coworker about something. And I talk with other people to say, what would you do? Blah, blah, blah. I'm not gossiping. And then I get some ideas and then I go talk to my coworker. You know,
but so, here's the thing. I think the difference between you and me, like, I do think if you tell a married person something, then you should expect that to go straight to their spouse, because I don't think people can keep that information to themselves.
Well, and obviously not just married, but partnered. You tell me something you understand and it's likely a sieve right to my partner, because I need to process it and understand it. But knowing that trustworthiness is kept between the two of us.
Right.
You know,
well, but you see when you watch movies or you see these things where that's the stuff that kind of blows up, or like,
right,
you know, people are friends and then the spouse is mad and blabbers everything. But I think, like, to me, if I'm going to tell someone something, I just expect they're telling other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think once, and this is what I tell children, once you post something online or once something comes out of your mouth to someone, you cannot control where it goes.
Right. Well, and that's the same thing with like memoir writing. That's what they say, is like, some people aren't real happy about how they're portrayed in a memoir. And it's like, well, if you don't want the whole world to know how you're acting, then don't act like that, because it's not my secret to keep that you were a jerk. Right.
Right.
But
it's true. That's the thing. It's like, that's why the defense to defamation is the truth, because it's, you have done this, right? Like, this is how you acted.
Your keeper.
This is what you did. Right.
Yeah. I have no obligation to be the keeper of your behavior if you're going to act like that.
But I've lived that way since I was a cop. You know, like when I first became a cop, they said, just imagine that you're in a fishbowl and everybody's watching you, whether they are or not. Mm-hmm. And now with cameras everywhere, right? So I just live in a way that, like, even in my home, I mean, we have cameras in our home. Sometimes I do forget. I did run to the back door in just underwear this morning because the dog was barking. But I'm like, you know, I do sometimes think about that with the camera, but it's like, there's cameras in our living room and we have another one that can be inside somewhere. And so I wouldn't do stuff. Like, I'm always like, oh, my therapist must be bored that I'm coming to therapy, but there's just nothing weird. And then I was like, no one would pay, you know, when the internet first came out and people were paying like monthly. I knew this couple in Seattle that, I mean, I was a cop and I like encountered them on when I was working. And it was just the beginning of the internet. And they were like, people paid monthly to watch them in their house. And of course they would have sex on camera, but I was like,
I paid for an alarm system, but I don't think we didn't have any cameras.
No, people pay for, you know, I mean, look at the Kardashians. That's what they've made their living off of, is being recorded at all times. But that's what I'm saying, is like, I don't do anything that I don't expect to end up on camera at some point, somewhere, sometime.
Okay. So you've never been backstabbed by someone lying or breaking trust or those kind of things. So that's one red flag that you don't have to watch out for, but other people might, you know, want to watch out for that. Okay. Here's some more red flags. Let's go over a couple more. The people who only reach out when they need something and everything is about them. They never ask about you. They never check in on you. You're going through a hard time. They're nowhere to be found. But when they're going through something, they come to you. And we've talked a little bit about this with reciprocity, but it's this idea that it's so unbalanced that it becomes all about them.
Yes, those are called narcissists.
Yeah. And then the next one is that you can't be honest with them. You have to walk on eggshells because they're going to bite your head off, snap at you, negate you, be critical of you, turn it around on you. So you're just sort of tiptoeing around them. Have you ever had people right. like this in your life?
I don't know. I think I would. Well, I wouldn't do well with people I couldn't speak my mind to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times when obviously you have to be a little bit circumspect, but like, well, is that the right word? Circumspect, like maybe not say everything you think. I mean, people have often accused me of not having a filter, which has gotten better as I've gotten older, but that's part of ADHD also. I don't think I would do well with that kind of person.
No, I've had that before. And it's just like, you're constantly like, oh gosh, okay, don't bring this up. Don't bring this up. And I want to be mindful because if they don't want to talk about something, but even right. just even the littlest things, like they don't, you know, I was like, if I suggest that we go somewhere for dinner and then they're like, oh, I didn't want to go there for dinner. You know that I don't like that kind of food. You know, it's like, oh, like.
But like my best friend and I, like she's been through a lot of relationships with guys, right? And we like laugh our asses off about it. A lot of it. Like if I could never talk, if we couldn't talk about it. You know, like if it was the elephant in the room or something, I think that would be right. hard. Like, I mean, I think it's more like what they're talking about is like, you really can't say to somebody what you think, like about the way they're treating you or, I mean, exactly. I think that's what that all goes into.
Yeah. Yep. Like, you know, if you were to say, you know, I really wish that you, you know, would show up more on time when we would make plans because it's hard for me to, you know, get here at this time and blah, 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 blah. And, but you're worried to say that because then all of a sudden they're like, well, you dot, 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 or this, or you, you
see,
don't think
I wouldn't
that
even put up
important.
With that.
Yeah. I mean,
do you remember that person I used to, much younger than me, we're in the same field. We just had coffee like once a month or something. And then suddenly I was a jerk and I didn't know anything about her. I never asked her questions. And I literally like this happened. Like I got this message at like 8:30 at night. And again, I think this person was drinking when they sent this message. And I'm like, I literally listed off everything. Like I knew unless there was some kind of secret life, like I knew everything and I was paying attention mm-hmm. and I'd even met that person's mother. And so that to me, like I saw that person like, I don't know, a year ago where it was very transient. I was walking through in court, like court, and that person like waved and smiled at me, and I'm thinking, oh my god, no!
Right? So
you literally texted me at 8:30 at night, telling me what a jerk I am.
Right? Yeah, and then wave stuff, the next day, like hi, that's crazy stuff. Nope.
That happened in that book, Strangers. The woman Val Burnham wrote about her divorce after 25 years, where. You know, they had the kids, the life, the whole time she thought that he was being super loving and he was like being so loving. And then suddenly he just is divorcing her. He's having this stupid little affair and then like caught her. It's such a good book. And then she's like walking with a friend 2 years later or whatever. And some guy's like waving at her and it's him. And he's like smiling and waving. She and her friend just turned and walked away. Like you literally destroyed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're just going to wave. So like when that happened, like I'm not the person you're going to drunk text me at 8:30 and say some shit or something or whatever you're going to do. Or you're going to accuse me of something that I am not doing. Then goodbye. I'm not talking to you again
right.
ever. Like I am not, unless you say I'm in rehab. I look back at the text and I'm ashamed of what I did and you know, whatever, but no. Absent that, like, don't even talk to me. Like, right. Why would I? You know?
Right.
What? I don't have time for that.
Well, and it's always so volatile. You don't know who you're getting, right? You don't know if you're getting the waving friend or you're getting that, you know, 8:30 at night text friend. That
Yeah, but do you remember when she texted and I sent it to you? And I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, is
right.
this
came out of
drunk?
Nowhere. Yep.
Yeah, like, whatever. Goodbye.
Yeah.
The yelling at dinner, calling, you know, like politicians that we like who are not bad people, losers and the C word. And like, I was like, what is happening here?
Right.
Like really angry, like explosion of anger. And like, no, I'm not doing that again.
Nope. But you can see some of these as like red flags, because if some of these come up a little bit here and there, you're like, you don't want to brush it off, right? Like, you know.
But those are things that had never come up before, and that's where I'm done.
I've had that, like I said, I've been blindsided by things, and you're like, well, I didn't see that coming. But sometimes we can look, and at least if you can look and see, you know, if there are friends that have some of these rumblings, they're likely to grow into something. You can't prevent all the blindsiding, but, you know, like the last red flag is like not taking responsibility. You're always the one apologizing every time you're in some kind of a disagreement. And it's so lopsided. And it's like,
right.
If you see these small things kind of happening, they almost always lead to big things. You can't prevent the big blindsiding, but you can at least say, okay, something's off, right? Like, trust your gut. Yeah. Something is off with this friendship. It doesn't mean you have to end the friendship. You can certainly talk to the other person about it, but you shouldn't put up with it. And like I said in our conflict management episode, is like, hope is not a strategy for conflict resolution. Like, hoping that whatever the behavior is just going to go away. You have to say something. You have to do something.
Also have to not put yourself in a position where you could be vulnerable. Like, let's do a road trip with somebody who could be volatile, and now you're stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Like, I mean, okay, fine. Let's meet for coffee. I don't drive with people also. You know, one time I drove somebody somewhere to a game or something. They lit up, you know, a joint in my car. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it was so disrespectful and it was so weird. And because I'm just not that person. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, things, when stuff like that happens, I don't drive with, and then I'm like done forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know, I don't like to be trapped anywhere.
I know that.
I don't want to be subject to someone else's whims. You know, suddenly they want to do this and they want to do that. Like you're saying, like, oh, somebody getting like upset because, oh, that's not the restaurant I want to go to. Well, I'm not ever going to a restaurant with you ever again or ever, or I'm not even putting that in my, I'm not even going to do that. You know what I mean? It's like, even when you're snowboarding or something and it's a, like they say, bros before hoes, or no friends on powder days, like, because you waste half your time trying to like accommodate to somebody else, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you miss out on the fun of life. And so that's where it's like, no, if you're going to treat me in that kind of crazy, like those couple crazy, like yelling or drunk texting me, bye, done.
Yeah.
Nuh-uh. Nope.
Yeah, I agree. There are just some things that are one and done. It's like, nope.
Yeah.
You know, like incidents, or particularly things like that. It's like, I don't have the interest, the capacity, the skin. I don't have the time. I don't want to do it. I do not want to do it. There are other people in this world that are not going to treat me like that. And so I'm going to go find them. I'm not going to spend time with you. And I don't care if you feel like you're legitimately entitled to say what you want and do what you want. But I don't care. I'm not sticking around enough to even hear your explanation. I don't want to be around it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is you said like a bunch of this was happening at one time. And so then I think that's the thing, is everyone has to say, and even as an extrovert, like, and I like to be around people. I like to have people around as I want them to be, not like where I don't have any control about it. But like, if I have to lose 10 friends, okay. So maybe that's meant to happen. Maybe I'm needing to clear some things out to let something else in. And that's, like, you did that very intentionally. I think I was doing it maybe not so intentionally, but it was happening. You know how we're always having these parallel learning lessons, whatever. Like, you were very intentional about it. Like, I'm going to seek out more quality friendships with people who aren't disrespecting me. Because at that time, and you did have two people who totally disrespected you, and you said that to them, and they basically laughed in your face.
Yeah, actually, I had several people. Basically
laughed not in your face.
Not take responsibility. I had two of the people of the several that did. They literally laughed in my face when I told them that I felt hurt by their behaviors.
Yeah.
And I was just like, listen, I'm done. I did a friendship clearing. I remember crying to you. I was like, why am I losing all my friends? And you're like, you're not. You raised the bar to a standard that's like acceptable with what you want in your life. And there's just a lot of people that aren't meeting it. So you're going to have to let it go or lower your bar. And I was like, I don't want to lower my bar. I'm like, you're like, just let them go then. Move on. Yeah. And it was interesting, because as soon as I let a lot of these people go, and holding on to them, some for history, some for because I didn't want to fail in a friendship and I wanted to save right. it.
Community, you know, community,
all of that, right?
Like
the fracturing of social groups. I mean, I've every which reason, but I was like, you know what? As soon as I let people go, it was like new people just sort of fell in, and they have all been really
that
like,
much more matching
nice.
To
they
you.
Match yeah. my energy, they match my right. my priorities, and you know, I'm not saying that some of those are gonna, like, you know, they're all gonna last for the rest of my life, but you know what, right
or,
now it
right.
was like really, it's really nice, it's peaceful. I don't
well,
have
and it
the
doesn't
drama.
Matter like they may just be there, they don't like okay, how many best friends do we need, how many, I mean, we have to look at that again. One of my best friends, you know, is a man. We do not text. Am I going to see him when we go to Seattle? We go to his house and the boys love to go to his basement of video games. Yes, but he does not reach out to me at all. Ever. Mm-hmm. Never. Ever, ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird. But then when we're together, it's like we were always together.
Right.
And that was the thing. Like his wife used to call me second wife. And that was like, you know, I would never like let him go in the way of like, because I'm not sure that last time I was there, we just took like 800 photos together and we had a great time. This when I was on my way to Thailand. I had like a 15-hour layover, you know, and I spent like a lot of time at their house and everything was as it always was since the 1990s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, that's another thing is like, that's the way that he does friendship. It doesn't have to be checking in and doing this and that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to kind of take people where they are. And if you're okay with that, then as long as it's not bothering you, you know?
Right. Right.
Like, but it is weird when I think about it, right? Because it's like, what kind of friendship is that? But then it's like a man friendship. So whatevs, you know, I can't do anything about it. And I'm not going to jettison him because nothing bad has happened. And he's, you know, somebody who knows me so well, but it's, we're not going to talk on the daily, you know, unless I were to call him all the time.
Right. I mean, there's different kinds of friendships that aren't toxic. Some of them are just long distance friendships, or they're close friendships, but you don't need to talk very frequently. Some of them are besties where you have to talk every day. But I mean, as long as they're not harmful and as long as they're adding something to your life, then, you know, keeping those friends can be a really important part of your world. But
right.
it's when they're detracting from or making you, you know,
right.
the friendship is draining you. It's making you feel bad and you don't enjoy
right.
it. That's when it's like, okay, I need to make a conscious effort to either change this friendship, right? Or I need to end this friendship. And it's okay to end it. And you can end it by, some people end it by more fading off. Like you just sort of talk less and less over the years and don't talk anymore. And some people have like a full on like breakup, like an actual conversation and being clear and saying like, okay, I don't want to continue this friendship any longer. Please don't contact me. And like having serious boundaries. And so I mean, there's many ways in which it can be done, but like some people will also just like hold on to a friendship that's toxic and let it continue to be like seeping toxicity, even if it's slow, because they don't have the guts to stop it altogether.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, I'll just distance myself, but it's still there and it's still hurting you. So it's like, well, why don't you just, you know, figure out how you can actually either move away from this thing or block it or boundary it very tightly. And
but I do think there's a lot of people who are in those kind of friendships because they're in a group of people and it's like the social pressure to not end it and not create more conflict, you know? And then, I mean, there's so many movies about it and it's usually like this East Coast women and their groups or the moms at the mean moms at the school or whatever. I just have, again, I never do groups in that way. And I think for that reason, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I mean, you can't be in a friendship group and be like, I can't stand Susan. And I'm going to finally tell Susan what I think of her, because the next thing you know, you're not going on the trips anymore. And you have to, I mean, so part of it is figuring out like what role people can play, but having like a one-on-one friendship with someone that you just are like, this isn't doing well for me. And politically, like you're not having to salvage it. Like sometimes it's like, okay, to be friendly without being friends. Like you can be in some, you know, community group with someone and, you know, you're on the board of directors together or something and, you know, you don't like them.
Right.
But you need to be friendly when you interact because you're going to have to interact. But if they're like, you want to go out for coffee? No, I don't. I really don't. But you can be friendly.
Well, there was a girl, a chick in law school that we had to work together on a project or something. And we also had friends and like my good friend was good friends with her girlfriend or something. And we actually were sitting in the law school chairs. And I said, you, we're never going to be friends. Let's just acknowledge that. And let's get this project done. I don't like you. I said, I don't like you and you don't like me. I was very clear. I was very
clear.
Did
she agree with you?
I said that. I said, I don't like you and you don't like me. And we need to get this project done. We're never going to be friends. So let's not even pretend. Let's just do the work. And it was fine.
I mean, how did she react to that?
She looked at me and then like, yes, we did the work. I mean,
right. I mean,
she had a tragedy
boundaried.
Happen. I know she had a tragedy happen to her many years later. And I reached out and I said, I know that we had a hard time, you know, when we met and I'm really, you know, sorry for what happened. Like I still want to express my sympathy to you, you know?
Yeah.
Even though we were never friends. I think we had become like Facebook friends, but we, you know, I was really like clear because it was like, you know how, okay, we're in law school, we're lesbians, we should be friends, but I mean, we just did not like each other. Mm-hmm. Like it was just we did not get along at all. And I was like, I don't want to pretend. I did not have time. Like we need to get this law school work done and I need to focus on school and not like trying to be your buddy when it's just fake. You know?
Well, yeah, you have no intention of really having a friendship. And so it's, I mean, that's good. I guess just say it from the beginning. Don't waste anyone's time.
Yeah, that's what I did. I mean, it worked out fine. I mean, didn't like dagger each other. We didn't like it. We got the work done.
Yeah.
I feel like that has to be said in workplaces too. And people can get butthurt about it, you know, but it's like, I'm not here to be your friend. I don't need to be your friend.
Nope.
I mean, I've had a toxic situation in a workplace where, you know, like when I was working at that one big firm here and I was trying to be friends. I'm still friends with several people from that firm, but like one went cuckoo in my office and like we were so far apart on political beliefs. And I said, you need to leave my office. And I was the attorney and she was the paralegal for another attorney. And I said, I'm done here. You need to leave my office. And I think she thought I wasn't serious. And I'm like, we are done. You need to go now. Like we cannot have any further discussions or attempts at friendship or anything. We were so polar opposite. Like, I mean, it was what she was saying to me was like dangerously crazy, you know? And then remember that was that crazy kid, that the guy who sat right outside my office who ended up having to be escorted off the premises.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Yep. I do remember that.
And he would try to be my friend and he had said something horrible. Like, and I saw the text and everything that he sent to the girl who sat in front of him, like something so sexist and awful. Like, I mean, it seemed almost could be violent. And he was removed from the office. And then he tried to be friends with me after. And I'm like, nope, I've never responded to anything.
Nope. I mean, that's the other thing too, is if you already know something's going to have is just brewing toxicity at the beginning, just don't even do it. Don't even go into it. Don't agree to the trip.
And that
don't
person
agree to
is
the
like,
friendship.
Right. Yeah.
Just be no. And it's not like you're
if
not
you
giving someone
signs,
a chance, but if you see
right.
a sign, it's like, no, that's just silly. Why would you go into something right. where you know it's going to end, you know, not well?
Don't do it. Just
don't do it. So part of toxic friendships and making sure you don't have them in your life is prevention.
Yeah.
Look for the red flags, right?
Yeah.
You know, look for the red flags. And then if you're in a toxic situation, get out, draw boundaries, be very clear, be done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, politically work around what you have to in terms of like, if you have to see somebody or, you know, as you know, you're, or you're in a workplace with them, whatever, but be very clear and don't put up with it. If someone is making you feel bad, if something is happening that you feel like that friendship is pulling on you and it's pulling you down, it is not a good friendship to be in. So you can change it. You can talk to the person. Sure. And maybe that'll work. But if not, it's just, it is not a good idea to stay around those.
Agree.
Agreed. All right. Well, cool. Well, we have had another interesting conversation and got to talk all about toxic friendships. And I do hope for all you listeners out there when you're, you know, you're really considering this is just thinking about the energy that you surround yourself with and making sure that, you know, if you want to be joyful, you want to be happy, you want to feel fulfilled, is that you're actually surrounding yourself with people who have that same energy. Because if not, you are going to be sharing your energy with all these people on a consistent basis where you're either giving it freely or they're taking it from you. And it's really hard. Life is hard enough without that happening. And so, you know, really protect your own energy. Because it's easy for it to just be zapped before you even know it.
So true. So true.
Exactly. Well, all right. Well, to everybody out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.